It's 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. I am Sarah, and my guest today is a guitar goddess. She has a solo album out now called Controlled Chaos. She's at the Ardmore Music Hall tonight, opening for Paul Gilbert, and she's in a band with the original shock rocker, Alice Cooper. Joined also by Josh Vialta, we welcome to WMMR, Nita Strauss. Hurricane Nita, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today.
Hurricane Nita is the most badass nickname. How did you get that nickname?
It actually came from the first write-up of my first band ever. Like, one of the lines, there was a little rock magazine in L.A., and the write-up came out, and the last line was, "Get ready, Los Angeles, Hurricane Nita is in town and here to stay," or something like that. And I remember I was a teenager, and I was like, that is awesome. And I just adopted it. I completely commandeered it. And I think it kind of speaks for itself, you know, my stage performance and my style.
A violent storm.
Gotta love it. Exactly. Destroying all things in its path.
So then what weather pattern are you, Josh? We got to have one for you.
Let's see. I guess if you saw me on stage, I'd be kind of like a, what would you think, Nita?
Earthquake.
There you go.
Earthquake. And you're on the drums for this band?
Drums, yes.
Very cool. We have an earthquake and we have a hurricane in the studio. Let's
the
hope that thing
disasters.
Stays solid.
That's right.
Yes, love it. And this really tornadic whirlwind style of yours is on full display on your album, Controlled Chaos. It's your debut solo album. And here's the thing. I'm not a guitarist. I don't play any instrument. So it's really hard for me to describe the vibe that I get from your really technical style. But the thing that I keep coming back to is that you talk with your guitar. You're so emotive with it. And I know it sounds really silly, but like I said, I don't play any instruments, so I don't know how to describe it. How did you develop that style of yours?
That's exactly what I wanted. So I'm so, so flattered and happy to hear you say that, because I wanted to make an instrumental record that non-musicians could listen to and understand, and not just something that's a lot of fast notes played in sequence, but something that tells a real story and something that, you know, the great thing about instrumental music, it's subjective. The songs can mean whatever you need them to mean. You know, a sad song isn't necessarily about, you know, a death or a loss. It can be whatever you need it to be in that moment. So I think that's the beauty of instrumental music. It transcends lyrics and transcends language and, you know, any kind of cultural barrier, and it can just mean whatever you need it to mean.
It plays out like a movie soundtrack to me, this album. It's, you know, you've got these, it kicks off with an aggressive track right away. And you play on this album, right, Josh?
That is correct.
Yeah, it's, as we said before, totally aggressive, tornadic, but it also has these dips and these contemplative moments, and then it comes back up. Even these song titles on the album, Prepare for War, Our Most Desperate Hour, and then Here With You, The Stillness at the End, and then The Quest. I mean, I was listening to it driving in today, like, oh, I am ready to F.S. up, man. I'm ready. But did you intend for it to be so cinematic?
I did, yeah. And the reason why I did like this, and the reason why I wrote every song specifically for this record, is I wanted to make an album that's sort of a cross-section of who I am as a musician. And so, of course, it was going to be an aggressive album because I'm kind of an aggressive guitar player. But I'm not aggressive all the time. You know, my personality, nobody can maintain that kind of aggressiveness all the time. So
it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Yes.
There are happy songs. There are sad songs. There are songs about, you know, hopes and dreams, things that I still dream of achieving in my life. You know, things that, you know, songs that are about joy, you know, happy moments in my life. And of course, songs that are, you know, taking out aggression and feeling pressure and all that kind of stuff. So it almost listens, you know, reads like a cross section. Like if you cut a tree in half and you see all the rings in the tree, that's what I wanted to create with this album.
That's really cool. I spoke with Mark Morton a couple months back, and he just released a solo album.
Amazing.
Another great guitarist. Oh, I love it. It's so diverse, and I love listening to it. But he had a different vocalist for each song on the album. Is that something that you ever thought of doing for this, or maybe a future project?
I think definitely in the future, I would definitely think about working with some vocalists, but all my heroes are instrumental guitar players, you know, Steve Vai, Satriani, the amazing Paul Gilbert, who I still am pinching myself that I get to open for tonight here in Ardmore. And I just wanted to make one album that followed in that footstep and just, yeah, you know, went on that path. And there aren't a lot of girls doing it. You know, there are a few, but vastly fewer than there are men doing it. So I wanted to kind of take that step down that trail and follow in the path of the few, the proud, that have done it.
Totally. So, Josh, she just listed some of her influences as guitarists. Who are some of your influences for drumming?
Lars from Metallica would be number one. And then, like, as a kid, I grew up listening to different things that, like, changed my life. And you can hear these influences on the Controlled Chaos, for sure. Igor from Sepultura.
Oh, nice.
Pete Sandoval from Morbid Angel. Raymond Herrera from Fear Factory. And just different drummers, you know, you just grab different things that inspire you. And I've learned to grab a little bit here and there. But those are my main ones that kind of molded me.
And how would you describe your style?
Ooh.
Heavy question, I know. You can think about it if you need to. Oh,
aggressive.
I love it.
Very
yes.
aggressive. The way I play live, I kind of get out all the negativity through a positive way. And so when I'm on stage, I definitely get rid of all that stuff. So
love
it's
it.
Cool.
Love utilizing good. That energy in
Correct.
A positive way. Nita's album, Controlled Chaos, is out now. I saw on Instagram that your first show as a solo artist was 6 months ago.
That's right, in November.
And here it is, halfway through 2019, and you've got a headlining tour as a solo artist. It's been a hell of a year for you so far.
It's so surreal. It's so surreal to get to be out here headlining and playing these shows. And it's really an honor. You know, as a solo artist, you never really know, especially because I was so well known for playing other people's songs.
Mm-hmm.
And to step out into a genre of music that a lot of people were not expecting, you know, and a lot of people said wouldn't work. Saying, you know, you're on this great upswing with Alice Cooper and everything else you have going on. Make a band, get a singer, you know, and create songs that can be played on the radio. And, you know, Josh and I are a tight team of two, and we stuck to our guns and we made the instrumental record. And guess what? Here we are on the radio. Isn't that amazing? Like, when you stick to your guns and you create something as an artist that you're truly proud of and you put real time and effort into it, it's amazing how the public will respond. And we're out here doing a headline solo tour, you know, making radio appearances, being played on, you know, rock radio stations and metal radio stations around the world and doing it as an instrumental artist. It's a great feeling.
And I think one of the things that attributes to all this is you look at the year of 2018, how many things Nita did and how hard she worked. You know, we did a lot of stuff in 2018. It was a long, long year, but
I'll bet
it's all worth it. You know, here we are with you and doing the headlining tour, and she's worked so hard. You know, it's so cool to talk to fans after the show and just see how they relate to the record and what it brings to them. Maybe you should tell them about the kids that wrote the stories.
Oh, yeah.
Already sounds adorable.
We were talking earlier about instrumental music and how it can be so subjective and how the song can mean anything. And when I released Pandemonium, which was the first single ever, I asked on social media, what does the song mean to you? What do you hear when you hear the song? And one person said, I see a general on a battlefield commanding his troops as he leads them into battle. And the battle rages on throughout the song. And at the end of the song, the dust clears and the battle's over and they've won the war, but they've lost so many of their own. And that's sort of the end of the song. And then another person said, I see a captain steering a ship on a stormy sea trying to get home. And he's, you know, the ship's being tossed and turned in the waves. And then at the end of the song, the storm clears and he sees the lighthouse and he sees that he's made it home. And this has become so much of a theme that now a fifth grade teacher just brought a little book to one of my meet and greets. And he said, I played the song for my students in my creative writing class. And each student wrote a story based on the song. And one was about a race car driver and one was about a boxer. And the cool thing about it is, again, the song can mean anything that you need it to mean, because I didn't write it about a captain of a ship and I didn't write it about a general on a battlefield, but I did write it about exactly that, about coming through a tumultuous time and coming out on the end of it and finding the light at the end of the tunnel. So the fact that so many people listened to it and found a story that worked for them in that way was amazing and really gratifying.
It's open to interpretation, that's for sure. And especially when you remove lyrics and vocals from it, because then you are creating your own story. I think we're really conditioned to listen to music and rock music in particular as verse, chorus, verse.
Uh-huh.
And you sing along to these things. And like we discussed, it's instrumental. It's all over the place. Is that kind of why you decided to go the instrumental route instead of having a vocalist or vocalists?
Absolutely. I know what I want to say with the song, but I don't want to tell anybody else what they should take from the song.
Sure.
You know, you listen to these amazing rock songs, you know, pick a song, any song, and you kind of know what it's about. You know, this song is about a breakup. This song is about being in love. This song is about playing a rock show. And my songs can be about anything, you know, anything that it means to you. You know, we have a ballad on the album called Here With You.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people have said, you know, I listened to this song when I had a death in my family and I feel like the person is still here with me. And then another person will say, I listen to it and I think about my spirituality and I feel like God is here with me. And, you know, whatever it is that you need, these songs can be that. And I love that about them.
That's incredible. We're speaking with Nita Strauss on 93.3 WMMR. Some of your shows earlier this year, we were talking off mic, were with Fozzie.
Yes.
Yes, they are such good friends of WMMR. And in fact, they just played our MMRBQ, which is our summer kickoff show that we do every May.
We just missed you guys. We were on all their shows up to that one. So bummed.
You should have come out and partied.
I know. I wish.
Those guys are awesome.
Oh, they are awesome. Chris Jericho, Rich Ward. And we were talking with Chris Jericho, who is obviously very fit. He's in phenomenal shape right now, in particular with everything that's going on in his career. But
taking over the world?
A little bit, yeah. That's what he claims to be doing. But you guys are really into fitness as well. So how do you guys stay healthy on the road?
Well, I just released an ebook about this exact topic, actually, called Body Shred, Your Guide to Feeling and Looking Like a Rockstar. I've been really passionate about health and fitness ever since getting sober in 2015. Mm-hmm. And as I got more and more involved in health and fitness, I started getting featured in, you know, non-music publications like Muscle and Fitness and Bodybuilding.com. I'm actually in the current issue of Muscle and Fitness Hers. A lot of the music community started going, well, what are you doing? How are you doing it? So I put out the book. I launched a 90-day fitness challenge called Body Shred. We're doing it with amazing sponsors. We've got RP Strength, who are our amazing diet coaches. We've got Trifecta Nutrition, who's our meal prep sponsor. They're giving away 3 months worth of organic, amazing food to the winners. And the winners are getting an Ibanez guitar, my signature guitar, and a Marshall amp, and all kinds of cool stuff. And it's really just aimed at getting the music community more involved in being healthy and fit. Because I think it's important. You know, we all want long careers. We all want to be playing shows a long time, and it's harder and harder to do that if you don't take good care of your instrument and your vehicle to do it.
And I'm sure it's especially hard when touring. I mean, you're in clubs, you're in bars, and people get out of work at the end of the day and they want to come see your show. Some of them want to let loose with alcohol or maybe other substances.
For sure.
I don't judge. But yeah, it's certainly difficult, I imagine, to keep that up. So good for you for doing that. I have no upper body strength. If I do your program, will I just absolutely die?
Or
can I do it?
No, anybody can do it. It's made for people like, you know, it's made for any fitness level, but it's really aimed at people that don't know about working out that want to get stronger. So,
me.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
here.
One of the things is the internet today is a great thing, but also there's so much information out there that, you know, you look at one thing and then you look at something else and it contradicts that. And then there's a new, you know, diet fad a month down the road. There's so many things that just, you know, I've been working out my whole life, so I've kind of found out what works for me through trial and error. But somebody was just starting out, you don't know where to go.
Insanity,
you know?
CrossFit, I couldn't tell you the difference.
Right.
I have no clue.
Eat
because
protein,
there's
don't
so
eat
much.
Protein, eat fat, don't eat fat, you know. Don't.
Carbs, maybe, I don't know.
Carbs, afternoon, but not before 8, and yeah, the whole thing. So we just tried to really simplify it with Body Shred and just say, look, these are basics that cannot fail. You know, there are fad diets that work for a lot of people. This is not that. This is just super bare bones basics. And for those not doing the challenge, I think my biggest piece of advice would just be consistency and setting yourself up for success. You know, we talked about you're in clubs, you're in bars, you know, there's always unhealthy food around. So make healthy choices before, you know. For example, we were talking about Trifecta Nutrition, who's the meal prep company that I use. I have my meals delivered out on tour every Friday. I get a week's worth of food.
Nice.
So I have all this amazing, healthy, organic, grass-fed food from Trifecta. And then all of a sudden they go, okay, everybody's getting pizza. Do you want some? I mean, of course I want some, but I have healthy food already right here that I have already bought and paid for. So if you set yourself up for success, if you go, okay, I know I'm not going to have time to work out later, so I'm going to bring my running shoes to the office and I'm going to get a quick run around the block in at lunch or whatever it is. As long as you set yourself up for that success, it'll be way easier.
And what makes it really interesting how this whole thing came about is Nita lost 50 pounds on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. Wow.
Thank you.
And that's how this whole thing happened. I was like, you know, and people started seeing the change that she made in her life, her lifestyle change, and it started inspiring people. And that's how we came up with the concept. Like, let's do something. Let's do something cool that inspires people. Let's kind of help people out. So we launched it. It did phenomenally well. The amount of people that signed up, were 500 people signed up for it. I literally thought maybe 50 people would sign up. I'm like, I don't know how it's going to do, you know. And
exceeded expectations
exactly.
Just a little bit.
Because you just don't know, because it's not music related. It's something completely different.
Yeah.
She has a private Facebook page for the people that signed up. And to see people's changes with their, not only their body type, but you can see their physical, like their before picture, how they're kind of unhappy. And then the picture after that, you can just tell their face, like they're happy. They're they just feel good.
Yeah, and the bottom awesome line is you feel that. Better
and
doing it.
And you just see these, so a lot of people have been coming to the shows and introducing themselves and like, hey, I'm in Body Shred. And you can just tell how happy they are. It's just really cool to see.
It's a great really community. Cool.
That's awesome. Well, in addition to the solo album that you put out, all the fitness stuff you've been doing, the clinics you've been teaching, you also play guitar in Alice Cooper's band because apparently you never sleep, Anita.
Not enough.
Do you remember the first time you met Alice?
The first time I met Alice was in the most surreal situation that you can possibly imagine. When I met Alice, I had actually already gone through the audition process. A lot of people don't know this, but the band is based all over the world. There are a few living in the States. There are a few living in Europe. We all live in different states from each other. So my audition was all done via video. I was sending in videos. They were giving me notes and asking to see different stuff. So by the time I met Alice for the first time, I had already gone through the audition process and I was already in the band. I had my flight out to start the tour.
Right.
And then I got a call from Bob Ezrin, who has been Alice's longtime producer and, you know, has done some of the most legendary albums, you know, Pink Floyd and Kiss and early Alice stuff and the more recent Alice stuff. And he said, so Alice is in the studio working on the Hollywood Vampires record with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry. And I thought it might be nice for you two to meet since you're going to be in his band. And I said, well, that would be great. I would love that. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, just tell me when to come down. I would love that. And he said, well, right now, of course. You know, I'm on my way to the gym, got my hair in a bun. Like,
right. Oh, man.
No problem. Turn the car around, you know, run back, brush my hair and go. And as it turns out, the studio that they recorded in is at Johnny Depp's house. So there I am walking into this
minor
mansion.
Detail.
Minor detail that they left out, walking into this elaborate, beautiful mansion in Hollywood. Like, hello? no guards or anything there. They're like, oh, just, you know, go on in. I was like,
are you sure?
Is anybody home? and I literally just walked in and sat down on the couch and waited quietly by myself. And then this beautiful girl came in and introduced herself. She's like, hi, I'm Calico Cooper, Alice's daughter. And she immediately made me feel so at home. And then when Alice came in, it was the same thing. You know, the whole camp, the whole Alice Cooper camp is so welcoming and so kind and generous to anybody coming in. It's an amazing, amazing group to be a part of. And now it'll be 5 years this month that I've been with them. And it's just been an incredible experience.
So does that experience of meeting him in that context make you an honorary Hollywood vampire?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
That might be the closest I get. So I'm just going to go ahead and say yes. I was there for half a day with the recording. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well.
I'll take it.
You've got the badge now. You said it's been 5 years since that you've been playing with Alice Cooper?
5 years this month, yeah.
Well, now that it's sort of your day job,
yeah,
if you will, what's it like playing with him now as opposed to when it was all very new?
It's honestly, it's still as surreal as the first day.
Yeah?
It really is. You know, as a young guitar player, you work your whole life to have an opportunity like this. And that's what I told them during my auditions. And that's still how I feel today. And there's this huge renewed sense of excitement in the Alice Cooper camp because a lot of people don't know this, but we've got this huge summer tour coming up with Hailstorm, and there's a completely new show happening. They're doing new songs, new set, you know, new look for the stage. Like, everything is getting revamped, and that hasn't happened in the whole time I've been in the band. Like, it's been a pretty similar show for the last 5 years with some changes, but it's been similar. So there's this huge, like, excitement. All the emails are excited. There's a lot of exclamation points and capitals and stuff
happening.
Emojis. Not so much. They're older. Oh. But exclamations, for sure. And there's just this real sense of wonder and excitement that a lot of artists lose that after time. And to have somebody like Alice that's been doing this for, you know, not the greater part of a decade, but the greater part of a century, over 50 years, to have him still and his management still have that excitement is amazing to be a part of.
Well, now I'm even more pumped for the show. That tour is coming through on August 16th to the BB&T in Camden, just across the river from Philly. And I've never seen Alice Cooper.
Oh, you have to come.
So, I plan to, but now I'm like super stoked on it from what you just described. Hailstorm also on that bill, and they are also good friends of WMMR. They're from right around here.
Oh, we love them. And Hailstorm and Motionless in White both were super, super excited to have them on this tour.
Yeah, Chris Motionless, also from this area.
Oh, awesome.
So it's going to be a hometown party that night. Love
there
it.
There we go.
Yes. Speaking of Hailstorm, being a lady in the hard rock metal universe presents certain challenges. We've been excluded from this universe for a long time, and I think that it's slowly getting better. It's a slow process, but it is more diverse than it used to be. But can you speak to how you've been able to overcome some of those challenges?
Yeah. You know, I've been touring since I was 15. I'm 32 now. You know, I've had a front row seat to watch this change happen. And I remember being, you know, a teenage girl on tours like Warped Tour and, you know, playing hometown shows in L.A. and little club tours and being asked to leave my own dressing room because it was for band members only.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like that all the time, you know. And now it's just so much easier. It's just easier to exist because it's more normal. And watching this all happen, watching this change happen and seeing more and more girls not just being singers but being drummers, guitar players, you know, keyboard players and bass players and really stepping out into the spotlight and performing their asses off, not just being, you know, the eye candy in the band, but really stepping forward. It's incredible to see. And there were, you know, amazing musicians that paved the way, you know, the Runaways and Heart and, you know, and Lita and her solo stuff and Joan Jett and her solo stuff and even more recently Kitty and the Donnas and, you know, these great all-female bands. But we're talking about, let's be honest, 10 bands at the most that were female, you know, all-female bands or had female-centric musicians, you know, compared to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of bands with just dudes in it. So now it's so normal. It's so normal to be a girl carrying a guitar case. You know, no one gives you a weird look if you walk backstage at MMR barbecue or whatever and says, who, you know, whose girlfriend are you carrying someone's guitar case? It's just totally normal. And I love that.
This year on MMRBQ, we actually had two female-fronted acts, Joan Jett.
Love that.
And I got to meet her for 30 seconds. It was a wonderful 30 seconds. And Evanescence as well.
So cool. I actually got a chance to jam with Evanescence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Epicenter Festival.
Oh, cool.
They were kind enough to invite me up on stage. I know their guitar player, Jen, really well, and Josh is old friends with some of the guys in the band. And they were cool enough to invite me up to play a song with them. And it was so surreal because Amy Lee, I mean, as
iconic.
A kid, so iconic. As a girl trying to grow up playing music, she was one of the champions of strong females, you know, back in those days. So to get to hear her voice in my in-ears was so surreal and such an honor.
It had to be. And I love that Jen is in the band, too. She seems to bring a really cool energy.
Incredible.
To Evanescence.
Yeah. Great energy and great musicianship, too.
Well, as you know, representation is so, so important. So I just want to thank you for sticking it out because I know that it is not easy to be a part of that representation as a woman in rock and roll. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
It has been such an honor to be a part of this front wave of female guitar players. And I just hope that this wave and the momentum that we're building, you know, me and Orianthi and everybody, you know, Jen, that are out there building it up, I just hope the momentum keeps up. And from the looks of it, from my guitar clinics, how many young girls are coming with guitars and learning, and parents are telling me that they brought their kid to see us, you know, on the Alice Cooper tour, and now their daughter wants a guitar for her birthday. Like, I think the future is in very good hands. I feel really good about it.
How many kids actually go to other clinics and shows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have, I'll do workshops, and there are, you know, there are several attendees under 10, which I love.
That's adorable. I absolutely love it. The future of rock and roll.
It's looking good.
So we mentioned that you'll be at the Ardmore Music Hall tonight. Tell us about who's in your band and what we can expect from your set.
The great thing about this tour is I've got the two musicians that played on the whole album on the road with me. I've got Josh playing drums, and I've got Kat Scarlett playing keys. And those are my two closest friends in the whole world. Like, the two people that, like, Kat is my best friend of half my life, and then Josh being, you know, my boyfriend and my manager and everything. These are the people that know me the best and know these songs the best. So they're going to be played exactly as they were meant to be played on the record, which is super exciting. And I've got Dean, the same bass player from my last tour, playing bass, and Johnny Young playing guitar as well. So two super talented musicians. It's a really high energy show. And basically what we're aiming to do is bring that arena experience to a club tour. So what you guys will see is a super high octane show. We're bringing lights, we're bringing backdrops, we're bringing everything that we can. And if we can't get it all up today, we'll be in Harrisburg tomorrow. So if anybody wants to come see the full headline show, you guys can come see it there as well.
There you go.
But we want to create that experience where people walk out of a club going, oh my gosh, I feel like I just went to an arena rock show. And I think we've been nailing it night after night.
You can join Nita and Josh at the Ardmore Music Hall tonight. I believe you go on at 7:30.
Nice and early.
Love it. And the album Controlled Chaos is out now. Nita, Josh, thank you so much for joining us at 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.